even people that are born again, they walk in condemnation all the time because they look at everything that they do and everything that they're not, and they're like, well, God, how can you love me? Because He is love. He doesn't love us because of who we are or what we do or what we don't do. He loves us because He is love. Are we on? Can y'all hear me good? Okay. All right, let's see what I got here. I wanted to, to go along with this before we get started into that. I wanted to clear up something that been hearing. And it is that, if God's will is going to be done regardless, why do I need to pray? Good question, ain't it? Well, how many knows God's will is not being done everywhere at all times? If it was, there would be no rape, incest, robbery, none of that stuff, right? Because none of that stuff is God. There would be no sickness or disease or anything like that. But ultimately, God's overall will is going to be just like He said. Everything that is written in this book, just like in the book of Revelation and everywhere else, will be done, right? Jesus said, not one I, in other words, there'll not be one I not dotted, not one T not crossed, that's not accomplished according to God's will. So overall, God's will is going to be done. But how many knows we are involved in God's will? And whether His will gets done in our lives or not is greatly determined by me and you, by our choices. Just like this morning, I endeavor to be led what I wear. Coming to church, not home, I don't really ask Him. I just throw on whatever. But when I'm coming to church, why? Because I represent God. When I come out here, I represent God to y'all. I represent God to people at the grocery store or wherever that I go. So I do my best to endeavor to be led. I mean, I don't make a big deal out of it, but I just kind of, when I go to the closet or Saturday night, I'll just kind of look inside, and sometimes there's a shirt in there. Did y'all know that? Most time there's a shirt in there. Why? God wants me to wear a shirt. Right? We know it by the Spirit and by the Scripture. God wants us to wear a shirt, So most time when I look, there's something already in there. Now, if there's not, Sunday morning when I get up, I'll go back and I'll look again and stand there in the closet, and there's something in there. So, but it doesn't have to be the shirt that He says. I can wear any shirt that I choose, but I choose to wear one that He would prefer. Right? Just like whenever we come to church, we endeavor to do His will. So why would we pray if God's will is going to be done anyway? Well, according to Scripture, Jesus Himself prayed. The Bible says that He was the Son of God, but He did not come as the Son of God. The Bible says He can reduce, stripped Himself of being God and all the attributes of being God because He was, right? The Bible says the Word was God, it was with God, but it came and took on flesh and dwelt among us, right? He was not Jesus till He came here. We needed Him to become Jesus. And according to the Bible, He is the Word and He will never not be the Word, right? Whenever in the book of Revelation it talks about Him, talks about He is the Word. Anyway, so even though Jesus did not come as God, He came as man representing God and all the attributes of God and all of that. But how many knows He still had to pray? Because see, if He came and did anything using God's ability that we do not have, how many knows, then He couldn't say, you do just as I do, right? Or you be just like me. The Bible says no man's above his master, but he endeavors to be as his master is or like his master. So the Bible says that Jesus prayed. And I didn't look up all the places that He prayed, but He prayed often. Sometimes He prayed all night long, according to Scripture. There was times that He would pray before He done things. Do you know sometimes prayers for you? You get changed in His presence. Y'all remember the story that where Jesus was praying? And the Bible talks about at that place how Elijah and Moses came down and they was talking with Him, right? Y'all remember that? Peter even saw him, and I thought, how did he know that was Moses and Elijah? But what my point of it is, in Scripture, the Bible says even Jesus' clothes became white as snow. They was gleaming. He was changed in the presence of the Lord. And one of the reasons that we pray is because we're changed in His presence. If you're hard, you can become very, very soft, right? If you're discouraged, you can become very, very encouraged just by being around Him. But another reason that we pray is for God's will. Why? Because God has a plan. And God has to work. He's bound himself according to his word and said that he will work with us, right? The Bible says, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, says that we are co-laborers together with him. That means what? We all work together. God has the plan, and we need to find out the plan, right? So let's see here. I wrote this down here just as my own definition. But prayer, I put, is talking to God and listening to God talk to you. A relationship is a two-way street. It's not just one. I don't just talk to God all the time and tell him everything, or you. We should tell him everything that we want and what we want him to do and what we want him to give us and all that. Why? He's not our genie in the bottle. He's God and he's our Father, right? I mean, kids tell their parents things that they want, but how many knows parents tell the kids the things that they want too? So prayer is a dialogue between us and God. And it's not just talking or whatever. Sometimes it's praise. It's worship. A lot of different things. Let's look at 1 Timothy 2, if you got your Bible. If you don't, she'll put it on the screen for us. I think all our scriptures today is in the King James Version. And this is just to see some different things that Jesus said, I mean, that was said about prayer. Verse 1, he said, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, that's a type of prayer. He says prayers, he says intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So we know we're supposed to do these types of prayers at different times when we're led, right? For all men, he says. He says for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now let's look at Luke 6. I took Luke out this morning. God is good, amen? All the time. There's nothing and nobody any better than him. Ever. Never has been, never will be. He was good to you as much as he could be before you gave yourself to him. I was listening to Johnny Wednesday night when he talked about, what'd you say, a truck fell on you? And they didn't expect you to live and didn't expect you to walk and all of that. Isn't God amazing? And you wasn't serving him at the time, right? Do you know God put healing power on the inside of every one of us? That's why you can cut yourself and it heals up. It's already there. Do you realize that the healing power of God, all that has to happen is God just speed it up? It's already in you. But he's as good to us as he can be, as we will let him be. Amen? Why? Because he's good. He's just so good. But here in Luke chapter 6, we're going to look at, I think it's verse 12. Yeah, and this will be in the Amplified. Now, Jesus, in case you didn't notice, and you'll see it in the scriptures, or maybe it'll stick out to you in the scriptures that we're fixing to read, Jesus had way more disciples than 12. At the time that we're fixing to read here in Luke 6, I don't know how many he had. The Bible talks about later on when he gets through with this part that we're fixing to read, he went to the multitude. But how he knows what we're fixing to read, he went to the multitude and he picked out 12. He says here, verse 12, it says, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. Now this is talking about Jesus, and he's going out to pray. Why? He needs to hear. Why? He's fixing to pick 12 disciples, and it has to be just as everything was written before him. You understand? He's got to pick the right people. He has to pick one that is going to betray him. Why? That's what the scripture said. Right? You know, and I've heard people say this before, you know, well, he couldn't help it. You know, God picked him, so he was going to be the betrayer. No, Jesus picked him because God knows all men's hearts. He knows what they're going to do. He knows what your thoughts from afar, the Bible says. And one had to be picked that would betray him. Why? Because that's the way God said it would go. Not because God made him betray him, but God knew that he would. Amen? It says, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. and continued all night in prayer to God. Now, you wouldn't think he would need to, would you? Yes, he does. Why? He's just like me and you, a man that is full of the Holy Ghost. Me and you are people been born of God's Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost, right? And if you ain't full of him today, you can be. The Bible says if you'll sing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, you'll build yourself up, right? You'll get full. But anyway, verse 13. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. And of them he chose 12. So that tells me there was more than 12, because he only chose 12. Whom he also named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, surnamed Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which was the traitor. So see, he had to pick one of those that was going to become a traitor. Why? Because he had to be put into the hands of the high priest and all those. Why? He had to be crucified and all that. So he had to have a betrayer. So my point to all this is Jesus himself, you know, it's actually laziness and probably even a bit of pride when we don't pray. Why? We need instructions. There's not a one of you in this room that can tell me everything exactly is going to happen tomorrow. But God can. Now, the Bible talks about how man plans his ways, but what? God is the one that directs our path. God is the one that directs our hearts. But he says if we will acknowledge him. All day long, we should be acknowledging him. You know, most of y'all have heard the story about Scotty when we first got saved. You know, he would kneel down at the chair in the living room. Me and Travis were still in the bed or whatever, and he would pray, you know, and talk to God. And then he would tell God, I'll see you when I get back. Well, he did not have this concept of Christ in you, the hope of glory. He didn't know that scripture yet, you know, and he didn't know that. So he's telling him, I'll see you when I get back. Well, one day God told him, he said, take me with you. That was a mind-renewing concept for him. Take me with you? Sure, God was already there at all times, but how many knows? God couldn't come out and manifest himself and lead and direct Scotty the way that he wanted to. Why? Because Scotty was acknowledging God at the chair. Not acknowledging, God, you're in me, right? You tell me, Lord, I'm looking to you. What do I do? How do I do my work as unto you, Lord, while I'm on the job? You know you got to have help with that? Because my best is not God's best. Absolutely not. Like this morning, you know, I'm a couple of minutes late. I mean, I'm trying to hurry, and I told Beth, I said, it's about 8 minutes till. You want it or you don't. It's okay. I'm sorry. Why? Because I was supposed to be here 10 minutes for her to put my scriptures up. So she was gracious and let me do it anyway, you know, or whatever. But we need to hear from him in all things, even the smallest little thing. I remember that one time I was needing to talk to Scotty. He had went to Snead or somewhere, and I had went to Arab and groceries and all that I do, you know, and I'm on my way back, and I'm thinking, I got to find him because I had something that I had to talk to him about or whatever and give him. Well, lo and behold, I pull up at the stop sign coming back from Arab at Rainbow. Guess who pulls up at that stop sign coming from Snead at exactly the same time? Do you realize how many steps, exact steps in that grocery store, exact time for me to leave that house, exact time, all the exacts that had to be for me and him to both end up at that stop sign at the exact same time? There are no coincidences in God. According to Scripture, there are no coincidences whatsoever. You know, the world may have them, but according to Scripture, we don't. There are none. Now, let's look at some more here. We'll just read it since we're here in Luke. Luke 1, I was going to just quote it, but we're right here. I mean, not Luke 1, I'm sorry. It's 11:1. It says, and it came to pass that as he was praying, talking about Jesus praying, in a certain place when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So how many knows that your kids need to hear you pray? Your grandkids, if you have them, need to hear you pray. Your co-workers or whoever, and I'm not saying pray like the Pharisees. That ain't going to get you nowhere. Why? They love to pray with everybody watching. I don't know if they even prayed without anybody listening to them or not. Why? Because they wasn't praying to God out of their heart. They was praying for men to hear and see them. How many knows we should never do that, because your prayers is not going to be answered. Amen? But people should hear us pray, because they did not ask the question, teach us, till they heard him. And he told them, pray this way. And we're not going to go down through all that, because that's not the point of it today. But people need to hear you pray. I pray with my grandkids almost every morning that we go to school. We have a thing that we do. Now I'm having to change it, because they're kind of like getting a little bored with that, you know. And change it up. So last couple of days that we went to school this week, we didn't do prayers of asking or receiving or anything. We just did prayers of thanksgiving. Right? Because you have those. And so I would just ask them, okay, what we're going to do today is let's tell what we're most thankful to God for, you know. And some would say family or whatever that the case might be, you know. God accepts those just as much as he does for asking. Because we read there's all different types of prayers in the Bible. And we shouldn't just throw them out there off the top of our head. Look on the inside of you. That's where he lives. He doesn't live up here. He is out here, but he lives on the inside of each one of us. Just like Travis, he's the song leader, you know. Before he gets up here, when he gets up here, when you see him up here and he's strumming, he's looking. That's why he don't like for you to talk to him when he's standing right here and he's playing that guitar, you know. Sometimes if I come up and I say something, you know, he's kind of short or what. It's because he's looking. Why? We need to know the songs God wants to hear this morning. And that God needs to be played. Why? Because these songs are supposed to be to and for God, right? And also to bring all of us into his presence. And the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. But if how many knows, if we ain't on the right song, our heart ain't saying the right thing. But when it starts saying the right thing and God is receiving us and we're receiving it, oh, it can be wonderful. You can absolutely forget where you are. And just stay here all day, and it's like you've been here for seconds. Sandy's smiling. She knows what I'm talking about. Now, let's see here. Did you ever wonder how Jesus prayed? You know, we read about it in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we can see how and what he prayed, right? When he took his disciples, when he's about to go to the cross. Do you realize he went to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane before he ever went to the cross? Every one of us has to, right? He says, for us, we have a cross too. He says, for us, take up your cross and follow me. Lay down that old life, the one where you used to make all your decisions and you used to do what you want to do and you thought this was good or that was good or whatever. The Bible says that leads us to destruction, right? But he says, take up your cross, follow me, be my disciple. The word disciple means a pupil, a learner. You know, you got a teacher if you're learning something. So let's look here and see some things that he prayed in John 17. This is not long before Jesus went to the cross. Let's see, I want to start in, for time's sake, verse 6. And this will be the King James Version, too. This is Jesus talking. Yeah, 17:6. It says, I have manifested thy name. He's talking to God. I have manifested thy name unto the men which you gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Right? Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. He goes on and he says, For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. In other words, he's saying, I'm not praying for the lost. I'm praying for the sheep that you gave me, right? He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. This has been the prayer of my heart for months now. That God help us, help the body all around the world, to be one, just as Jesus and the Father are one. Before he comes, how many knows, I don't believe Jesus is ever going to pray a prayer that God's not going to answer. This one is not fully answered yet. But how many knows, before he comes, we will all be one, just as him and the Father are one. And I'm not talking about just one with each other. We will be one with each other, but we'll also be one with Jesus and the Father, just as they are one, right? So this is what he prayed. And I believe it will be answered, and it has become my prayer also. I think you'd do good to pray it yourself. What verse do we get to? Y'all remember? Was it 12? He says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. But the son of perdition, and we know, we just read it, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Right? Sometimes we pray, God, we want out when we got tribulation and trouble. But Jesus said, as long as we're here, we're going to have tribulations and troubles. He says, but be of good cheer. I've already overcome it. And in me, you will too. He says, 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Now, he's praying right here for the disciples. You get it? Those that are following him at the time. Because he's going to switch in just a minute. Verse 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now he's going to pray for the church that's coming, and me and you. He says, neither pray I for these alone, talking about the disciples in front of him, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us, right? He says that they all may be what? One. He says, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. So what's he saying? That we'll be in him, and he'll be in us, and we'll be one with each other, right? He says that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one. He just keeps saying this, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. The word perfect means mature or whole. He says, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me as thou hast loved them. Did you hear what that just said? I told you when I started, I felt like God wanted us to know how much he loved us. And this verse here says he loves you, he loves me just as much and just like he loves Jesus. That was a hard concept for my mind to get wrapped around, to get renewed to. Because like I said, I know me. I know just about everywhere I miss it, my thoughts, my intents of my heart. Write the word, if you got it in there, it'll tell you the intents of your heart, whether they're good or bad, whether you realize it or not. You know, so, but you have to renew your mind to this, that God loves you just like he loves Jesus. Not because of what you do, but because he is love, and that's what he chooses to do. Amen? And that takes mind renewal. You know, over there in, what is it, 1 John? I think it's 4:18, somewhere around in there, that it talks about how that mature or perfected love of God does what? It casts out all fear. So the more you realize that God loves you, the less fear you're going to have. So therefore, it's the less things that the devil can use on you or come at you with to belittle your faith, in other words, would be fear. And that's something that the Bible says God did not give us, right? He didn't give us a spirit to fear, which when you look up that word, it means cowardice. I cannot stand a coward. I was watching the news the other day, and there was this guy on there, and he was talking, and oh, he's wishy-washy and kind of milquetoast. And I said, you coward. Just coward. If you're going to say something, just go and say it. If you ain't, shut up. God doesn't like a coward either. According to, we read it in the book of Revelations a while back, right? They're in the same category as adulterers and murderers as cowards. Now, I didn't say be no smart aleck, but he doesn't like a coward. And that word also means timidity. That means that's like kind of like shyness. Because do you realize, or you may not realize, that's actually a form of pride. You wouldn't think so a lot of times, but when you examine it, who is it thinking about? You. Who gets put in the place of God during pride? Me, my stuff, myself. So when you're shy or timid and all of that, you're thinking about you. You're not thinking about God or His Word or anything like that. So anyway, He loves you just like He loves Jesus. And it'd be good for you to, you know, if you can't see that yet, go home, study it, read it, meditate it, read it over and over till you get it on the inside of you and it starts growing. It'll help you. Jesus said, Father, I will that they also, talking about us, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Glory to God. We know where He is, right? And if you've been born again, then you know where you're going. It's to be with Him, the one that our heart longs for. He says, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. According to Romans 5:5, the Bible says that the love of God is where? Been poured out the day you got born again. The love of God, according to Scripture, was poured out in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, right? And then that Scripture there backs it up, that the same love that Jesus had is on the inside of me and you. Now let's look here at John 13, since we're here in John. King James Version, I'm going to start reading in verse 33. This is Jesus Himself talking again. It's read. He says, little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you. Most people forget this one. A lot of people, they quote the one where the Bible says that love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, we're supposed to. But New Testament commandment that Jesus Himself gave is this one. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. He says, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And He says, by this, by what? This love that you display. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that's followers, pupils, if you have love one to another. Now this one right here, this is major. That means I got to love Sandy like Jesus loved me. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me and her. That love's in me. But what I got to do? I got to grow it and mature it and perfect it. How am I going to do that? By yielding to it and exercising it daily. Loving people that are so unlovable. Loving people at the red light that's sitting there on their phone and you just want to blow the horn till it's like a fog horn in the back of their head. I know y'all don't want to do that. That's okay. We're talking about loving. Right? And see, it's not talking about loving the world like that. You don't love the world like that. He says that you love one another. Who's he talking to? Disciples. Born again people. What's that mean? I got to love all born again people just like Jesus loved me. Now some, they have a distorted thing about love. They think if you love me, you never get on to me. You never correct me. You never tell me anywhere that I'm wrong. That's not biblical. The Bible says the ones that God loves, he chastens. What's chasten mean? Correct. Get on to, discipline if necessary, right? So love, all of that is in love. You can't have love without discipline. You just can't do it, right? Why? Because it'll help you correct. Why? It wants the best for you. It wants you to be the best that you can be. It wants you to have the best, all of that. So therefore, at times, any place you're getting off, you're going to need some discipline or some correction. So therefore, this distorted thing about love is, you know, well, if you don't agree with me, you don't love me. I can disagree with you all day long and love you. God disagrees with me where I'm wrong, but he always still loves me, right? So he says there that I am to love you as Jesus loves you. You are to love me as Jesus loves you, right? That's a mountain. When you think about it. But it can be done, and it is going to be done. Why? Jesus said it, and it is the new commandment that was given to us when we came out from under the law. Because you know what? This commandment here overrides everything. When I fell in love with Scotty, nobody, nothing else mattered. My mama didn't matter. My brother didn't matter. My sister, nobody and nothing. If I got to eat, I don't care. We just live off love. Y'all ever heard that expression? But now when you've been married 40 years, I don't care about love. Give me something to eat. See how big I am? I quit living on love a long time ago. You got to have some love and some food, or you will be out of this world. But when you first fall in love, they call it like the honeymoon stage. But how many knows? You can keep that. But love is not always what this world and a lot of Christians have made it out to be. Let's look at it and see exactly what God says it is. 1 Corinthians 13, I'm sorry, Beth, you didn't have this one because I didn't either. This is fresh off the press here. I try to read this one, or I do read this one just about every day. Y'all remember the story that I told y'all that we went on vacation? This, I don't know, what was this, 5, 6, 7 years ago? I don't know now. But anyway, I done something that made Scotty... He got upset at me, and so he didn't talk to me the rest of the time we was there. And my flesh thought, great, I can watch a movie in peace without talking, but it's not a good thing. But anyway, because have y'all ever noticed a lot of times people want to talk when you get real interested in TV? I don't know why that is. Just something happens to some people. But anyway, that's not my message. You know, and it was my fault that he got upset with me or whatever. Anyway, when he did start talking to me again, I told him, I said, well, I said, I think when we get home, I'm going to work on me. God, did I know that was going to be a never-ending process until we get out of this world. Because you don't know how bad you are until you start working on you and let the Holy Ghost show you, right? Because how many knows, when you get right there, you get something conquered that you've had for a long time, you know, and you've been trying to over, and you conquer it, you're like, whoo, oh, I'm good now, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. And it's like he peels back another layer, and it's like, gosh, Lord. Because the thing about it is that I've come to realize the more I know God, the more I realize I don't know. But somebody, the less they know him, they think they know it all. And they know absolutely nothing. You know why? In his light you see light. But here in 1 Corinthians 13, so anyway, the end of that story that I was just telling you or whatever, I thought, okay, Holy Spirit, let's work on me. Help me. And I just felt a little something in my heart. I mean, I didn't hear him say it or anything, but I just felt like, okay, go in there, write down 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, and read it every day. The Bible talks about keeping the Word of God before your eyes, right? It talks about meditating on the Word. It talks about the Word of God is medicine. I have scriptures I got wrote down that I take my medicine every day. Why? His Word is medicine, the Bible says, and it is health and healing to all my flesh. So if you're sick, you need to be taking your medicine. You need to be taking the Word of God and natural medicine if you need that for a time or whatever. But anyway, I started working on this. I started reading this every day, and kind of like Mac, nothing happened, nothing happened, nothing happened, you know, or anything. But then lo and behold, me and Scotty has a very loud discussion. Y'all have those? Never. There wasn't no coffee table breaking this time, though. I'm done well beyond that, hopefully, forever. But anyway, that's why I don't have one. But anyway, we had a loud discussion, and all of a sudden, this word started talking to me. Do you realize the Bible says in Proverbs, it will? It'll talk to you. It'll lead you. It'll guide you. It'll correct you. It'll tell you. It'll discern your thoughts. It'll tell you the intentions of your heart, according to Hebrews 4:12. Right? Anyway, it started talking to me. And it started telling me that part. It says, let me see if I find it right here. Quote it to you exactly the way it says. Love suffers long and it's kind. Let's just go on and read the whole thing here. We're going to start in verse 4, and we're going to read this in the Amplified. So if you don't have it, she'll put it on the screen in the Amplified, please, Beth, if you can. Verse 4, it says, love, you know, and I really don't like the translation when they wrote the Bible, the way they translated the agape love of God. They put the word charity. Now, see, when I hear the word charity today, I'm thinking thrift store. You know, I mean, something like that. You know, you give to charity. I mean, that is not at all what he's talking about here, like thrift store. This is the love of God. He says, love endures long. Jesus asked the disciples one time when they didn't use their faith. Y'all remember that? He's in the ship asleep. Oh, he's enjoying himself. He's worked hard, you know, casting out demons and all that, and they've left. And he's in the ship, and a storm comes up. The Bible talks about kind of like hurricane force winds. And they get in there and tell him, Master, don't you care that we perish? We're about to die. He got up. He rebuked the wind and the waves, and what did he do? He rebuked them. They should have used their faith, right? And he told him, he said, how long must I be with you? How long must I bear with you? So Jesus was very long-suffering, right? How long-suffering are you? How long-suffering am I? It says, love endures long and is patient. Now, we know that word patient is a lot of different things, right? Endurance, put up with. He goes on and says, and kind. Now, see, I can do that one, or I have done that one. Hopefully, I'm getting better every day, still working on this. Never be a time you don't have to work on this, ever. Right? That, say you're in the line at, we'll just say Walmart. That's a good place. You're in line at Walmart, and you're up there, and y'all ever use them self-checkout things? I cannot stand them things. Matter of fact, they do my groceries, and I go pick them up now. I'm just done with all of that. But anyway, I got to stay off of that stuff about me. Anyway, you go to put your bananas up there on it. You know you got to put your bananas up there and punch in the little thing where it says bananas or tomatoes or whatever it is. You know, y'all looking like you don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, you do. So it weighs, you know, whether it's bananas, onions, or, you know, tomatoes or whatever. And if it ain't the right thing, if you don't, it's got two different kinds of tomatoes. Y'all notice that? Got little round ones, and then it's got them on the vine. So you got to pick the right tomato, punch the right button or whatever. So, you know, I can endure long or whatever, you know, but are you kind while you're doing it? Are you kind while you're waiting? While you're being long-suffering, are you kind? Are you... I mean, everybody knows when you do that eye rolling, they know what that means. Hurry up, get out of my way, because I just ain't caring right now. I got places to go and people to see. How many knows that's not the love of God? Not at all. If anything, the love of God would say, oh, baby, here, get up here in front of me. And you got a whole buggy full, and they got a half a buggy full, but you're like, here, what? The Bible says that we are supposed to prefer others above ourselves. See, we like to do this stuff in church. Oh, but what about when we leave church and go to Double B or our favorite restaurant and eat our lunch? Ooh, I have heard, I used to work there. When I was 18 years old, I worked down there. Mama worked day shift, I worked the second. Some of the church people that would come in there was some of the rudest, meanest, hateful talkingest, no tipping, stingy people I have ever saw. Not all, but I would say the majority that come through there when I was there. What's that say about us as the body of Christ? Not good, right? We are to be the most generous, right? Generous souls shall be made fat. And it ain't talking about what you see right here. It's talking about my billfold and spiritual life, different stuff, or whatever. And that's, but you won't be skinny emaciated either. I guarantee you, your needs will be met. But the Bible says the generous soul shall be made fat. We should be some. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver, and He will not do without one, according to Corinthians, right? So how many of us, we should be that way. The love of God is that way. God is so generous with us. The Bible says God has heaped grace upon grace to us. Heaped it. Give us grace and then heaped more grace on top of that. How good is that that He is to us? So for us to go out and to be stingy and not graceful or anything outside, that's not good. The Bible says, we just read it, by this love will all men know. The men and women working at Lucky's, the men and the women working at Double B, right wherever they are, they gonna know because of the love that I have. I follow Jesus. So He goes on there, and while you're being patient, you got to be kind. He says, love never is envious. Oh, somebody give a testimony. Travis give a testimony about his building or whatever. How he believed God and shows the pictures, you know, and all that. I tell you right now, I don't know what he need with that size building. Number one, what's it your business? I'm talking for God here. What's it your business? It ain't my business. He believed for it, his money, whatever, him and God. Get as big as you want. Like some people would say, well, I don't know what she needs with that G's playhouse up there. Well, I'm going to play for one thing. And God likes playing. God commanded partying, right? Now, I'm not talking about drunk partying and all that. I'm talking about partying, fellowshipping, enjoying ourselves, having a good time. Well, you got to have a place to do it because you're not going to do it in my house. That's where I live, where my stuff is at. So God created us something up there by the pool and all of that, right? That's envy. And we don't want none of that ugly stuff. Because you know what? If you're Indian, yours ain't coming. But if you'll say, I'm next, glory to God, thank you, Father, for blessing Travis, or whoever, you know, with whatever it was, their testimony was about what they got or whatever, or this, I don't know what Johnny needs with that, God. I've been waiting a long time for mine. Well, revealing your own heart's probably why you ain't done got it. I guess Johnny believed God, and God gave it to him. I don't know. But we don't want to be envious, ever, of anything or anybody. It just reveals a wrong heart. He goes on and he says here, he's not envious. It does not boil over with jealousy. Any kind of jealousy. Husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, what we just talked about, people's stuff. You know, you can be jealous of people's stuff and be like, God, I serve you, so I don't know why you give it to them. They ain't even saved. It don't matter. The Bible says God is good to all that call upon Him. He reigns on the just and the unjust, right? Now, there's going to come a day of reckoning that we're all going to give an account for all things. But God does things just because He's good. It says, never boils over with jealousy. It's not boastful. In other words, it's not prideful. Listen, don't let somebody give you their testimony, and then before they can even finish their sentence, you're coming back giving yours. You're not even listening to them. That would be boastful. I don't need to hear what you got to say about your little 2-pound fish. Hear about my 5-pound. Why you even got to tell about your 5-pound? Just let them tell about their 2, right? Because it says that it's not boastful. It's not vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily. We would call that like high-minded. You think more of you and your stuff than what you should. We have to think in line with Scripture. He says, it is not conceited, it is not arrogant and inflated with pride, it is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. That is a big one right there. You start on this one at home or you won't ever get it probably, especially if you're married. Where you want to eat? Well, I don't know where you want to eat. Now, we're practicing this. I don't know where you want to eat. Well, I don't want to just do my will, you know, whatever you want. Don't get an argument about that. Somebody's picked quickly, okay? I understand what we're doing. Nobody's trying to get our own way. Say, I want Chinese, but forget about it. Scotty, what do you want? But now if he defers it to me, there's your opportunity. Pick it. Because you know you can get an argument if somebody don't pick, and you're trying to do the Scripture. Yeah, Been there, done that. Got the t-shirt and throwed it away. Not y'all's. It says here, it does not insist on its own rights. So even if you got rights sometimes, you just got to let them drop. Or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy, this is a big one, or fretful or resentful. When I notice myself, people, I'm real touchy. You know, somebody say something, I just snap back or whatever quick. In here, I'm like, okay, I'm not walking in the love of God, or I wouldn't be touchy or fretful or resentful, it says. It takes no, this is the one that the heated discussion I told you about spoke to me. I heard this. The love of God takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Y'all know what that means. What you laughing the loudest for, Darce? Better just be quiet. We won't know it's you. What that means is, you hate a discussion and you go in the kitchen and you come back, hey, baby, what is it you wanted? No account. Like it didn't even happen. Now, sometimes if you've got to discuss something, y'all know what I'm saying, right? But you get the essence of it in other words. Well, or this would be wrong. Say you got in a heated discussion or something was brought up and you brought up something he or she did 5 years ago. Us women are usually very good at that. We have like photographic memories of offenses if we let ourselves. So then something comes up and you get on something he did 5 years ago. I thought you didn't keep an account of that. You got that baby filed and dated and recorded. And I thought you're supposed to not keep an account. What that mean? Do away with it. Even if you remember it and it comes up, don't take an account of it. Do away with it. Because if you're not, it's going to lead to worse than what you got. We got to finish up because I'm almost out of time here. Let's see. No evil done to it, suffered wrong. Verse 6, it does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love, God's love in me, bears up under anything and everything that comes. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person. I try to do this one. Somebody start telling me something about somebody, and I'll be kind of like most of the time, I'll be like, well, they probably didn't mean that, you know, to the point to where some people's like, yes, they did. I'm trying to do what the Word says. Think the best. Think you didn't mean to say that or mean to do that or mean that the way that you said it, right? Or whatever. The love of God thinks the best, he says, of every person, and love's hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Verse 8, love never fails. It never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. Why? According to 1 John 4:8, God is love. And God is never going to fail. He's never going to fade out, and he's never going to become obsolete. Amen? I've got to stop because our time is actually up. Does anybody have anything they would like to share or comments or anything before we close? All righty. We'll recess till 11.